from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Leroy Dragon.
This is Dirt and Spray.
Dirt got fired. He's looking for a job. Don't hire him. He's just stay away from the guy. It's sports radio, 1080 The Fan. Not with Dirt. Sorry, dude.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Spray.
What is a spray? We should just call him Craig. Yeah, that's your new name, Craig.
Dirt and Spray on 1080.
I'm here to support a friend and a work colleague.
You don't know what love is.
Love you very much, Francine.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Spray here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Congrats to everybody who ran the hood to coast. Hope you're wearing your medals at work like my co-host is today.
I will be gaining 10 pounds this week.
Yeah, we're back on the sweet train.
Oh,
what's our first fatty meal? What are you going with?
Well,
a medium pizza.
I still
you
have
dirty dog. You?
I have no. Actually, we did the family size cowboy last night.
Yeah. Now we're talking. Now we're talking.
And then I had a fritter covered in Dutch and maple frosting this morning on the way in.
Yeah, brother.
I'm gonna eat something very unhealthy when I get home. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be glorious.
It feels good, doesn't it? Just to be fat every once in a while.
It does.
Deep down, I'm
taking
I'm
a solid week of just doing nothing and eating fatty foods. It's the last week for my kids' vacation as well.
Yeah, school starts what? Tomorrow?
Tuesday.
Next
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
They get one more.
Portland Public's tomorrow.
Well, I know. I have a buddy. I dropped him off his stuff yesterday.
It's over.
Kids go to Westview.
It's over.
And they're starting tomorrow.
Shout out to, by the way, all the teachers that we're going to start seeing texts and responses. I always love those. Not love them. I hate losing listeners. But in June, we'll get random messages from teacher listeners.
Right.
Who are like, all right, guys, see you in September. I'm not waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm out. And then they start trickling back in. So welcome, everybody. Back. We have been here all summer. Welcome back to the fold. We're very excited for football season to be here. Can you make sense of why Drake May has not been named the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots yet?
So I talked about this last night on the gambling show, and the rumblings out of Boston, because my co-host is in Boston, she says the rumblings are that they're going to start Brissett week one and
why?
Then give Drake May the start week two when they come back home, because they're at Cincinnati week one. And I went on a big rant of like, this is the dumbest thing.
What are we doing?
Why? Why would we do this? Like, have you looked at Washington's quarterback room?
No, I don't know who's behind him. I have no clue.
It's Mariota.
Oh, that's right.
Do you know who's after him?
They actually did. I saw a press conference the other day. Thanks for reminding me that they were crediting Mariota for his leadership and mentorship of Jaden Daniels.
Marcus knows this is over.
Yes.
He's going to live the backup life until he doesn't want to do this anymore and then go be a king in the island. Like, kudos to him and be a Duck legend.
Collect paychecks as long as he can.
Right. After him, it's like Jake Driscoll or Jeff Driscoll,
number one recruit.
And so it's like they have one of the worst. Are they dabbling in starting Marcus Mariota? Are Marcus Mariota and Jacoby Brissett really that different?
No.
I mean, honestly.
I mean, I would argue maybe Mariota's even better than Jacoby Brissett.
We're splitting hairs either way.
Well, but they have a
still a homer. He'll always be a homer there, and I'm going to get he's better.
Why would you? They wouldn't. They're not starting anybody week one to start Daniels week two.
No.
It's dumb. I don't get what New England's doing. And everybody's like, New England, they're restarting the culture. Who did Gerard Mayo play for? When something happens in a moment that Gerard was in as a player, who's he going to think of and what they did?
Yeah.
Like, I find what New England's doing now just weird. I'm rooting for Drake May. I root for mainly all the rookies. I don't want to see him do bad.
No.
He looked good last night. How do you watch last night and go, yeah, let's start Jacoby Brissett? He made like four plays that Jacoby Brissett could never make. And so I don't get it. It's the dumbest thing they're doing. Start him week one. Let him get his teeth kicked in a little bit in Cincinnati. And then let him come in and you know, have his home debut.
Maybe he wins the game. The NFL's wacky. We have no clue. Maybe he outplays our expectations.
Cincinnati starts slow sometimes.
Yes, they did last year. Speaking of which, of your BetQL show, did Lucy Burge acknowledge her public beef that was going on?
So another thing.
She's in a walking Betts beef right now.
Well, I didn't know about this because I left to the mountain at the butt crack of dawn. This happened Friday.
This went viral. So for those who don't know, Sprague does a show on BetQL every Sunday, Back to the Futures. And his co-host, Lucy Burge, who we've had on the show before.
Yes.
She's a friend of the program.
Friend of the program.
She is a very hot commodity on social media because she will do videos where she gives out gambling bets for the day.
Yes.
Yeah. And she does them. She films herself walking and she shows her outfit and she does, here are my four or five bets of the day.
Right.
And there's some other gal who is stealing her thunder of walking bets, a barstool gal or something, and she's filming herself, and this has now become a beef of she's stealing my content, and it's a very serious thing.
So she says she knew about it for a long time because I said, how was your week? And so I was the New York Post Fridays. That was weird. And and I stopped her and I went, what?
Excuse me, what?
You're New York Post? What'd you do? And she goes, oh, it's a walking bets thing. And so she didn't really elaborate. I'm like, oh, that's cool. She got a shout out for her walking bed video because she gets a lot of traction on those.
Yes, she does.
For obvious reasons.
Yes.
And, you know, she's always been honest about that. And then I looked into it during our first commercial break and I went, I had no idea this was a beef.
Yeah.
And she basically said that, yeah, I've known this gal. She's been doing this. She basically pitched the idea after she saw me do it to Barstool to hire her.
Mm.
And she's been called out for it. And Lucy finally responded to it. And then that girl did like a crying video.
She did. Very emotional video about public attacks.
It got a lot of traction to the point where the Odyssey bigwigs were like, we agree with your point. Let's just let it go. Let's bury it. Let's move
on. Really? They made her bury the hatchet, huh?
You know, and yeah.
Okay.
Nobody told me this, so I teed it up and talked about it for a decent chunk of the show.
Oh, there you go.
I'm out of the memo on that one.
Sorry, I was halfway over the Coast Range this weekend when all this news was breaking.
Yeah, I
saw this beef lead up over the weekend, and I have now contemplated when I go home and take Teddy Ballgame for a walk around the neighborhood after the show, which I always do, get him outside, a little fresh air, take the dog for a walk.
Yeah.
I'm contemplating taking my shirt off on those walks doing walking bet videos in an homage to Lucy. I'll tag her in the video. I mean, she's got to be tagged here.
Chest hair of the day.
Chest hair of the day. Check out my pubes right here in between my nips. And I like Georgia Tech plus 10.5. What do you want from me?
You know what? You should do a college football only one.
College football only picks?
I'm going to put this as a poll question. Should Dirt do the Lucy Burge walking bets shirtless to show his chest hair of the day and get his college picks?
Do you want my man chest on your socials?
I don't know. You shouldn't steal that either, buddy.
Well, I'm doing it. I will make sure to credit her for the brilliant idea.
I gotcha.
And I don't think men will be drooling in my mentions the way that they drool in her mentions for her walk.
Maybe the females will.
Sure. Maybe the ladies out there.
The ladies.
No, to Lucy's credit, she's been doing this for quite a while.
No, she has.
Gained a following a while ago and has just been killing it.
Also
and
acknowledges when she misses. She'll like recap her video
every
and be
day.
Lost four of the five.
Oh, for four or three for four or whatever.
You love to hear from the people that are giving picks, like the honesty is like, all right, I suck some days just like y'all. But like, I feel like since, you know, social media has now kind of leaned into sports betting in the past few years, we've seen more of these competitors, not just like dudes, but like hot ladies trying to like rise up. It's not OnlyFans anymore for some of these girls. It's like, I'm going to be the hot sports betting pick girl. And I see them constantly just like flooded into my feed now. And I'm like, oh my God, everybody thinks they have a take. Guess what? Hey, you don't.
Well, everybody can have a take. And I'll tell you, I don't know how many people in your life give you a pick and then like sway or dictate you making the same pick. I'm largely usually firm in, I'll be right.
I trust my opinion. Right. I don't listen to any gambling advice.
And if you're going to be attractive and do it, I mean, it's no different than I'm not going to listen to most of the guys who give the picks. I'll listen to the logic.
Yeah.
may question a little bit. I'm ultimately not going to change my stance on things because I like to die on hills.
Yes.
So if you're attractive, you do it. All the better. Cool.
I enjoy the content. I was famous. We were famously in Vegas moons ago with our buddy Kevin Todd, and he and his other sharps gave us the winners from the two AFC NFC title games, and I bet against them.
I took one of them.
And I went 0 for 2. That was fun. That didn't work.
The one I took helped kind of even things out from the weekend in Vegas.
Back to the original point, Gerard Mayo said this morning on WEEI, saying this is a true competition. And I would say at this current point, Drake has outplayed Jacoby.
Yeah.
Now, in saying that, we have to take a look in the full body of work going all the way back to spring and the beginning of training camp, and we'll see where we end up. But those are conversations that will happen over the next couple of days. This just feels like, to me, the ultimate. It's the same thing we're kind of going through in Denver. I, you know, somebody texted him. Where did this go? Let me find it. The problem with starting Drake May in week 1 is the Patriots' offensive line sucks. What if they had Marcus Mariota him like the Titans did with their terrible offensive structure?
Week 2 is not going to change. It's not going to change. Is going to start week 2. So what's the difference?
So we're just not going to play him at all because the offensive line sucks? Like, you got to see what you got here. Unfortunately, I just don't think we're in a position, and I firmly believe this now. I didn't used to argue it, but I think you get a benefit of playing these guys. And if you found somebody, you will see highlights, you will see moments, you will see drives, you will see quarters or halves or whatever the case that leads you to believe, okay, we feel like we got our guy. Now, it's not going to be perfect. He's going to suck. They might be the worst team in the NFL this year, man. They got the best odds, or one of the best odds, to have the number one overall pick in the NFL draft next season. But you at least give yourself an opportunity to grow with the quarterback, see what you have in him. And that offensive line problem is not going to change. They're drafting in the top 5 for a reason. It's because they suck.
Yeah.
And just because you suck, you're just going to sit him for an entire year? I don't agree with that philosophy at all. And I don't see the difference in playing him in week 2 as opposed to week 1. It just, that makes no sense to me. I know Jacoby Brissett sucks. I've seen him play. He's not a good starting quarterback in the NFL. Similar to what was going on in Denver with Jarrett Stidham. Like, no offense, Jarrett Stidham, you're a career backup. Bo Nix was drafted in the top 12 for a reason, to be the starting quarterback. The same thing goes with Drake May. I don't like the way they're handling
it. Yeah, the wild thing is, you point to, like, Jordan Love came on. He had, like, the greatest 8 weeks to end the year of any other quarterback in the NFL. Mahomes, obviously, is putting himself in a legendary category. We can point to these guys and say, this is the argument against what you just said, right? What's crazy is, you just go Mahomes. This is year what for Mahomes? Is it 4? It's 5, right? Or is it 6?
It might even be 6.
Okay, so he's in the 5 to 6 year of his career range. In just that span, how different is it with the salary cap implications of these contracts?
Yeah.
The Niners are dealing with this. They had Trent Williams to pay and Brandon Ayuk. Purdy's got to get paid next year. They're going to give him that contract, and I think it's going to kick in the year after. Like, these are massive decisions. It's hard to waste a year. And so just even from Mahomes got in the league to this point, it's only a handful of years. Look how different it is.
Yeah.
You got to know now. If he sits the entire year 1 because you're not ready to protect him, that sounds like gross mismanagement of an organization, to be honest with you, because you need to capitalize as much as you can on their rookie asset. I feel bad for Bryce Young. I do. I don't particularly believe in him. I don't buy quarterbacks of that size to win at a high level. But Carolina did him no favors. And so, like, if you know you're going to be in a quarterback spot, you need to do what you can to protect the asset to the point where if he's not good, it's solely because he can't read defense or he's making bad throws or whatever. Not like, hey, his offensive line literally can't block for him. That's the tough part. You go rookie quarterback, you want to see what you have quickly. It's why people criticize the Penix pick so damn much.
Right, because he's older to begin with, and you're going to make him sit for maybe 2 years.
Maybe 2 years if Kirker stays healthy. So I just, it's crazy just in how short a span we've gone from, oh yeah, Patrick Mahomes is sitting for the year because they have Alex Smith, where it's like, no, we need to know now. We have 2 years to find out if this guy's it, because then we need to see what we're at financially to start structuring that future contract.
Talk about having quarterbacks sit, too. There's another guy in the news this weekend that I will talk about next as we kind of some final thoughts on the last weekend of preseason football. It sounds like maybe we're going to get some action today on some of these storylines that won't go anywhere. So a couple of lingering NFL thoughts next, and we'll dive back into Florida State's season ending with a bit of a dud in the opener over in Dublin. We'll get back to that in the bottom hour of the show. Some more NFL talk next on The Fam.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
A fun question to ponder. We'll get to that. Florida State, rough weekend in Dublin. That was a hilarious way to start the year. The people are speaking. They want shirtless dirt walking bets.
Okay.
Also, shirtless dirt driving range. Dirt Sporanic is getting mentioned. You know, our up tops, you know, we got big
unbutton
up-tops.
That last button.
I'll show it off.
Baby. Give him a little tease right now. You're on a camera.
Bring gas.
Only dirts.
Don't tease me with a good time. You see what your boy Trey Lance did this weekend?
Yeah, I saw that. Five picks.
Talk about sitting a guy and waiting. Let's, you know,
but he's the next guy.
Give Jimmy Garoppolo a little bit of time here, and then Trey Lance will be ready. Remember, this was like legitimately a debate in Niner Media a year ago. Legitimately an argument. Should they start Trey Lance or should they start Brock Purdy? And are they giving Trey Lance a fair shot?
Well, I'd be honest with you if I wasn't saying I was probably in that before they traded him, because I'm like, what do? You traded up for number three? You got him? Like, you need to see it, but...
You got to pivot at some point, and at least credit to them, a pivoting of... He threw 5 interceptions in a preseason game.
Yeah.
Against backups of the Chargers. He threw 5 interceptions.
He should be cut.
He had a Nathan Peterman plus one.
They played the Chargers again?
They did. Did they play the Chargers?
Oh, no, they played the Rams.
Rams last time. They did a little double LA entendre, if you will.
Yeah, he is... he's going to be out of the NFL in like 2 years.
How much do you think Dak Prescott's agent was laughing about this?
Pretty hard.
Yeah, you want to hold out? Yeah, you don't want to pay our guy? Okay, here you go.
It's so weird, man. Like, how you hit on these guys? Josh Allen's numbers in college to what he is now.
I know.
How do you make sense of it?
I know. We're going through it now with Anthony Richardson because you were out on Friday, but we talked a little bit about that Friday because he had a rough showing through a bad pick six. And that was the kind of comp there was Josh Allen and Anthony Richardson because their completion percentages were so low in college that it's like, how could this translate? And you hear that a lot about Anthony Richardson. The pro argument is, well, Josh Allen completed like 47% of his passes at Wyoming. He was not good, but he has turned into one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL.
The other thing is, did you see the Richardson? They do these like inner squad scrimmage practices, and so they play the team in the practice that they're going to play in the preseason game, and so it's the Bengals.
They were talking a lot.
Evidently, the Bengals were just chirping at him the whole time. He can't throw. He can't read a defense. And if you're a Colts fan, you're just sitting there going, I'm not nervous at all.
Kirk Herbstreit's floating the idea on the broadcast that it's a Joe Flacco, Anthony Richardson quarterback controversy.
It's not, though. Like that that felt a little lazy of old Herbs. Like, no, they're going to see what they have with Richardson unless he gets hurt, and then you will see Joe Flacco.
Has Brandon Ayuk become the new Brett Favre, the story that just won't go away? Oh, now he's connected to Washington. They're evidently back in the mix. Of
Adam Peters.
What's that?
So Schrager's the one that threw this out there, and he's not really a big newsbreaker, but when he tweets something he's hearing something, right?
Yeah.
Adam Peters is the GM of the Washington Commies. He worked for years. He came from San Francisco.
I think he was in San Francisco the last 7 years.
Yeah. Assistant GM to John Lynch, and so...
Quarterback-wide receiver relationship is there. They played together in college.
Yes, they were teammates at ASU, and so like there was a thing there, and then it went away, and now it might be back in the fold. A second and a third is what Schrags threw out.
But the Niners still want it. They still want a wide receiver in return. I know
they should.
Ricky Pearsall is coming back. I think he's returning to practice today.
But he already hasn't stayed healthy. But he's just in camp. They have no Trent Williams. Like
they knew he had a shoulder injury coming out of college, and that is he has a shoulder injury.
Yeah.
Would Terry McLaurin in a second round pick? I mean, that does it for
Scary
me.
Scary Terry in a second would, I think, be just
get
fine.
It done.
Ayuk is better than Scary Terry, but that would be a good trade off. I don't, if you're Washington, why would you do that, though?
I mean, yeah, I don't get that. Other than just maybe, I don't know what Terry McLaurin's contract situation is, and maybe they just wanted, they think Ayuk is the better fit there. But the ironic part about that is that they had Sam Howell at quarterback last year. Washington did.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, they were not a good offensive team. Terry McLaurin had 1,000 receiving yards last year. He's a 1,000-yard receiver and a bad offense with a bad quarterback.
Well, that's why I'm saying, like, why would they do this?
Yeah.
Because they got rid of Dotson already. He went to Philly.
He did. That was
Philly
a
was
random
desperate.
Trade last week for a third-round pick that made no sense.
This is just Ayuk's agent trying to spin. This is literally, what, the 10th different headline we've heard, and we're just reading agent tweets from Brandon Ayuk as headlines at this point. Basically, what, 3 weeks ago, we heard at the start that he was going to the Steelers.
That was a done deal.
Exactly. It was done. Now we're moving on. Oh, no, maybe LA team. No. Let's move on to somewhere else across the country. It's literally like a third of the league by the time this is going to be done.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
They should be a little nervous in San Francisco because there's still no Trent Williams.
Still no Trent Williams.
And so now you're sitting in a spot where it's like you may not have Ayuk, or if you do, it's going to be this relative last minute,
we've got to figure
NFL
it out today.
Next week on Thursday it starts.
They got to make their final cuts in the next like 48 hours, I want to say. Like, this is cut down week. They got to decide who's on the roster.
And these guys are veterans, so you could say, well, it's all right. They'll be back in the fold. Okay, all right. But like, you're a little rusty. Takes you a while. Like, the Niners, they need to figure out what's going on here. So I would just love to know if he ends up getting traded. And I hope he does a podcast and reveals this. What is the difference of money here? Are we talking 4 or 5 mil, or are we talking 1.5?
What are we down to at this point?
What's the number for San Francisco where they just, I just want to know what this gap is.
Yeah.
To have this be lingering and not just move on, send them to the place and get whatever, you get the best possible thing you can back. I'd like to know it, because you know they got to pay Trent Williams.
You have to. That's a no-brainer. It's an unquestioned one. The Ayuk thing, I'm so tired of this story. Make it go away, man.
Well, we haven't talked about it on the show.
No,
at least,
we haven't done a couple of weeks.
I like Brandon Ayuk. I don't think he's worthy of that much conversation.
No, this is not Justin Jefferson or Devontae Adams or Tyreek Hill. Like, he's a good wide receiver. He's not to that level.
Well, and the Niners should be pretty excited if they can get Trent Williams back, because their right guard, Puni, has just been lights out. One of the stars of the rookie class on the offensive line.
Yes, he has.
Our friend Baldy did a big video breakdown. I know Nemec was really high on, he randomly mentioned him to me. I'm like, never heard of the guy. I'll start looking into him.
Right guard. All right.
And he, sure enough, he was right. He hit it. So they've got encouraging things happening on their offensive line, but they have no left tackle right now.
No.
And they're missing their leading receiver from last year.
And I would argue offensive line is one of the biggest question marks about that team, to be honest with you.
It was going into the year,
We go into this thought because they've been so good for so long that their offensive line is dominant. That's really not the case. Trent Williams is dominant. The rest of the offensive line has not been very good the last couple of years. And so they've addressed right guard. You need Trent Williams back. Hopefully there's an answer on that at some point today, but the latest is that Washington might be making a play. I don't think anybody's surprised by this news, remembering how horrific it was, but just a reminder of a team that has kind of been circled as interesting year, and they're going to be out without one of their key players, at least for the start of it. Nick Chubb will begin the year in Cleveland on the physically unable to perform list. So for those who don't know, you got to, that's at least the first four games of the year until he can be brought off that list. So the hope is that he's back for week 5. Even that, I would think, would be aggressive. That is one of the grossest injuries that I can remember in a while. And it was in week 2 of last year, so we're almost at a calendar year from all the surgeries. I think it was multiple, at least 2 surgeries that he had to try and recover all that. But the Browns, who were hoping to get Deshaun Watson into the game this weekend, I don't believe he ended up playing. I was up in Seattle. It was kind of funny seeing all the fans line up for the game, because the Mariner game ended and the Seahawks game started at 7, so it was very crowded down in that area around Safeco and Lumen Field or
who
whatever
did they
it's
play?
Called.
I missed the
season. It was the Browns. The Browns were there.
Brownies, gotcha.
So I don't know if Deshaun ended up playing. I don't think he did. They were hoping to get him snaps. He took 0 snaps in the preseason. They're going to throw him out there a cold turkey in week 1, and they don't have their star running back, who, not surprised, but still a reminder of how horrific that was. And you just hope he can at some point get back to being the Nick Chubb of old, because he has really carried that organization for like 3 years now.
They open their season, the Brownies do, against the Cowboys.
Ooh. What's the line in that game?
Amari versus his old team. It is Cleveland -2.5, according to ESPN.
Hmm.
Excuse me? Am I gambling the Cowboys in week one of the NFL season? Is that what you're telling me?
There's going to be so many Cowboy fans at that game.
Is that what you're telling? Do I have to gamble? I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
take the money line straight up.
But they also haven't paid their guys.
No, I know.
And their coach kind of sucks.
He does.
And their defense might be worse.
It might be.
They still got to show up to play, though.
Look, Sean Watson sucks.
He does, but Stefanski's good.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper's good. He had a good year last year.
That's why they wanted to trade him in the offseason.
Well, for Ayuk, and I think they refused to. I think that's why you didn't get a trade, because Amari Cooper would be a nice little trade out for Brandon Ayuk.
His reaction to that was the best, too, of like, dude, hell yes. I'll say, can we make this deal happen? Can I go play in San Francisco? I don't have to play with Deshaun, the groper anymore. Get me out of here,
dude,
man.
What if Deshaun just has just the worst day? They're panicking.
I mean, I think they should already be past the panicking. Yeah. I would have already given up. Anything positive would be the pleasant surprise. I would be mentally done. By the way, Mike Tomlin is still not named a starter in Pittsburgh. So
it'll be Russell Wilson.
It likely would be Russell Wilson.
Somehow had a takeaway that Russell Wilson, who went 2 for 2 for 26 yards,
he's the guy.
Showed him all the right things.
I saw everything I need to see. Right there, those two throws.
Are you shaking in your boots of our Pittsburgh Steeler bet?
Not yet. I'm not, because that organization makes no sense. I don't get it. They make no sense.
They're really well run, but I
Mason Rudolph got them to the playoffs last year.
He's going to have a bad year as a coach.
Mason,
you have to have one.
Do you?
Yes.
Do you? Are you sure?
I believe.
I think Mike Tomlin sold his soul years ago to never have a losing record.
Be a hell of a thing if that guy sold it. He's got a big cross on his chest.
Does,
that'd be wow.
You really think he's going to do less with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields under center than Mitch Trubisky,
and Mason
Rudolph, and Kenny Pickett?
That's
Are you kidding me?
That's the
thing. Yes, I do.
That's ridiculous. I'll bet you $100.
I'm already
right
on
now.
This. We're already on this bet.
$100.
Sign
right
Schultze
now.
Up, baby. Let's
wait,
go.
Wait, what's your bet?
Let's go.
That they'll finish over 500.
No. Okay, my bet is playoffs. They're not making
damn it.
The playoffs.
I thought our bet was 500. They would be a 500 or worse team. I didn't know.
Okay, that. Maybe that was.
I think
the
that
bet.
Was our bet. Yeah, I think it was play. I'm not guaranteeing a playoff spot.
They smell like 8-9.
I'm just telling you, 500. They're going to be 8-8-1.
I would bet you a bill right now.
They're going to have a 6-6
it's tie.
Be
with the Browns.
Russell Wilson can't get a first down. They miss some field goals late. There will be a 6-6 tie in there. They go 8-8-1.
No. 9-8. I put it down. I bet you a bill right now.
I've already got another bet.
What is that? Oh, not confident in your Mike Tomlin take?
Yeah,
are you quaking in your boots already? You're already questioning
your
own logic, man.
It might be Marcus Greaves. I'll make a bet with him.
All right, there you go. Some final preseason thoughts of the NFL weekend. We are now a week from Thursday away from the start of the NFL season. It is almost here. Would you want to hire this guy? And that's not a great way to start your year after an offseason of complaining. That is next. First, your Schultze with SportsCenter. We're already begrudgingly getting tired. Into obligations for football season. My wife's cousin's getting married on September 28th.
These fall weddings.
I will never forgive him for it because I believe, let me double check my math here. That is the day, scrolling. I think that Georgia and Alabama play.
Oh, that's a massive game.
How do I find top 25?
You know, it's not good. If you think about what we're doing right now, it's actually pretty awful from the human experience. That, like, we're like, hey, the sports game's on. I don't want to, you know.
Dude, I wait all year for this, man.
But it's your cousin's wedding.
This
may be it.
It is Georgia and Alabama play at 4:30.
First wedding?
So that, yeah, first wedding.
Well, it could be the last one.
So that ceremony's got to start at, what, 5 o'clock, right? I mean, I don't know. I got the invitation at home. It's
going to
start at
4
or 5 o'clock. Your game starts at 4:30.
No.
Like, if you think I'm mentally there, I'm like...
You do a 1 o'clock service.
Georgia, Alabama.
1 o'clock.
In Tuscaloosa.
Oh, here's the other beauty part.
Georgia's a 4.5-point favorite.
Guess who will have YouTube TV
exactly.
on the table then?
I mean, I just, you know...
I just am shocked that any football fan would ever get married or agree. You know, I get it. We all like getting laid, but it's like, honey, just block off the months of September through December. We are not getting married then, okay?
Are people getting married still to just
to get laid?
No, that's I'm not thing. Saying that, but I'm saying to continue the harmony in your relationship, agree to whatever marriage date that your wife would want.
I figured out something, and I'm on to something here with our generation, like specifically our age range. I think we have started, for some reason, the co-men, women, baby shower experience.
Oh, yeah, this is now a thing, and it
and
needs
you did
to
it,
not be a thing.
And I participated in it as well. Like, I don't know who or why, but I grew up, it was like, the ladies hanging out with the ladies in the baby shower. And the
guys would go do something or not do something and just go to a bar.
Like, I don't think I was at my first kid's baby shower. I think it was my wife with all of the ladies and then, like, you know, the in-laws and all that.
Sure, friends, in-laws, that kind of thing.
The second one, a little hazy in my memory there, but I think it's our generation now because I got back from Hood to Coast.
Yeah.
And I've got a friend that's doing a joint baby shower and asking not only for the dads to be there, but like all of the family.
Everybody there.
Kids and yeah, like all of it. And I think it's our generation that started this.
Is he being mandated to do this or does he want to do this? Like, is this an ask? Is this like a demand, like the wife saying you're going to be here and be involved in this? Or is this a, honey, let's do this together. I'd love to be a part of this.
I feel like I know him relatively well enough to say if she said it's just the ladies, he'd be cool with it, but he's definitely in on it.
He's definitely in on it.
Yeah.
On an NFL Sunday.
But he's not an NFL fan.
Yeah.
And that can be tough when you're not, when you're friends with people who are not football fans in almost any way.
They just don't get it, man.
And I have way more of these in my life than you would care to guess.
Yeah.
Things get booked on Sundays, week 8. Pivotal matchup.
Pivotal. The Niners and Chiefs play that day.
I mean, it's a
massive I've already looked at the calendar. Niners and Chiefs, 125 on Fox.
Well, is that a 10 a.m. baby shower? Because baby showers shouldn't be longer than 2 hours.
That
right?
is true. But
so
is
I could be home in time.
Do you do it at 10 a.m.? It's a little early, but you could go mimosas, go early in the morning, have that be the theme.
I might just do the YouTube TV on my phone and have it on the mute, but like run over to see the action and.
See, if I were a sports fan and I had friends that were football fans, I would, those are the only people that are going to come and show up. I would try to schedule it on a day that there isn't a big game or there's a bye week for the Ducks or Beavers. Like, why nobody checks the schedule? Oh, there's a concert going on. It's not just sporting events that, like, control our lives. It's other things, too.
Well, you know, not really for me. It's all sporting events, especially in football season, man. I got a one-track mind right now. Speaking of which, would you want your school to hire Jimbo Fisher? He's already fishing.
No.
He did a hit. I don't know if this is on the show before. I guess Peter Burns is filling in. He's doing national radio now. And he was talking to Jimbo Fisher. And he said, quote, there's only so much hunting and fishing you could do before you want to get back into it. I'll be watching a lot of film this year and see if there is a right opportunity for me to get back into it next season. Jimbo Fisher, catch the
Oh, he'll land somewhere.
Somebody's going to hire him.
Liar,
yeah. I mean, if Les Miles could coach at Kansas.
Guy got $100 million to not work anymore, and he wants to get back into coaching.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it. Don't get it at all. Maybe Florida State's open.
It could be, because they had a rough opening weekend. And Mike Norvell could
Welcome
be on the
back,
way.
Jimbo.
The reaction, I think my favorite part from the weekend was not just how, it was a really fun game to watch. And anytime you get an upset, Swag texted us about Joe Tessitore. Now, I was up at the Mariner game, so I didn't respond to it at the time, but I love Joe Tessitore. I think he brings the gravitas. It was a top 10 upset. Florida State, no, they were a 2-touchdown favorite to open. I know it got bet down to 10. I'm a big Joe Tessitore guy.
Are you?
I am.
Did you love my Monday Night Football?
I'm out of the closet now, okay? I'm not afraid to admit that I love Joe Tessitore. I feel like that's kind of controversial when people say, like, Joe Tessitore's, he's only good on boxing. He's not good on football. I don't care, man. I'm out, and I'm loving every minute of it, and I love Joe Tessitore calling college football games.
That's quite literally a quote I've said, so you can just say I disagree with your takes.
I'm out of the closet, and I'm okay. I'm flying my Joe Tessitore flag. He was great. Pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. That was an awesome final call of that game.
I think we have the final. Here is the final call.
Yeah, hit it.
44 yards away. Touchdown. He got it. And the Yellow Jackets did it. Upset in Kansas. They found themselves a pot of gold at the end of their Irish rainbow.
Dude, that is a great call. That's a top 10 team going down. Swag's like, I want somebody to be a little more storytelling and breaking things down. Like, dude, it's college football. It's passion. It's fun. Bring energy. Gus Johnson, Joe Tessitore, I'm here for it.
Ooh, he captured me Lucky Charms.
I don't know what Swag wants in broadcasters because he's kind of he was mad D. Wade didn't do more. And I said, well, who does more for you? And he couldn't name anybody.
Here's the situation.
He's a play-by-play guy, so he's going to be great. You know where I land.
You're anti-Joe. It's okay.
Well, I watched the game because I saw the text late, and so I'm watching the next day. He's got a little Gus in him.
He absolutely has Gus in
him. And he runs for 6 yards!
See, and I didn't think he did. I thought a lot of those big calls were like fourth down conversions from Florida State. Like, you hit a 30-yard pass on fourth and eight, you go for it, the game's on the line.
Seems a little...
I don't want you to be reading me a book. I don't want Al Michaels putting me to sleep.
And that's a touchdown.
No, I agree with you. Michaels is my GOAT, but like, where he's at now in his life and all that. I don't know. There's a balance there.
Okay.
And I don't know what it is.
You're anti-Joe. It's okay. You can stay in the closet.
I like Joe.
Stay in the closet.
Joe seems like a good dude.
Be a bigoted closet person. That's all right.
I'm not bigoted towards the Tessitore. His draft Guinness where him and Jesse Palmer had their faces on it. That was funny.
That was good.
He seems like a good dude. Sometimes it feels like he amps up the volume a little. On plays that I'm like, nah, I mean, that was a 10-yard gain. It wasn't, like, back-breaking for the defense.
Big play right there. Big play in that moment. Big play in that moment. I do have a PSA to Florida State. If you're going to spend the entire offseason making fun of Kirk Herbstreit and complaining about your conference and getting left out of the college football playoff, maybe don't lose your opener to Georgia Tech as a 10-point favorite.
Don't tout your defensive line as one of the top units in the country.
Maybe let's not do that.
You had Cianci on when I was out.
I did, yeah.
How was he?
He was good.
Did he give any thoughts on Florida State? Did he say anything about Florida State?
I asked him his top... I actually reacted to it, so I asked him his top 10 team that was going to fall off that he didn't buy into, and he said Michigan was his team.
Oh, okay.
And that's definitely a widely held opinion out there, and I followed it up with... You hit it sometimes, but I literally did 15 minutes on Friday of how Florida State's not going to be good this year. And it felt really good to watch that game. I love Georgia Tech plus the money. That was a game I wish I could gamble college football. This is one... And Schultz, he's brought this up on the show. One of the weird benefits of the new NCAA football game is learning about teams.
Yeah.
And if I didn't play as Georgia Tech, I would have no... The only thing I know about Georgia Tech last year is that Mario didn't take a knee, and they somehow won that game. That was the Georgia Tech game.
Bad call, too, by the ACC.
It was a bad call, but you deserve the bad call if you don't take a knee. That's all I knew. And I played as Georgia Tech in my dynasty going into year six. I lost in the semifinals again, dude. I can't get through the semifinals. But I'm going into years... I'm like, dude, they got a great running back. Haynes King's a good athlete, a quarterback. They got some underrated wide receivers, a senior-led offensive line. I knew everything about that team because of the video game, and somebody tweeted it was like, Dirt had a great breakdown of this matchup primarily because he led Georgia Tech in a dynasty, and I was like, you're damn right I did. It felt good.
I'm 11-0 in the college football playoff with the Beavers right now, so
what year of the dynasty are we in?
Year one, baby.
Year one, right out of the gate, 11-0.
This is a road to glory. This is my personal. Okay. I'm not on the dynasty. This is my personal whatever player.
Like Dirt and Saturday, you know how Schultz's winning with Oregon State right now in the Mountain West.
Run the ball.
You got to run the ball.
Right, my quarterback scrambles a lot.
Run the ball.
Got to be able to scramble in that game, man.
Brent Key, man. Great drop.
Somebody saying, did FSU game feel like watching the Beavers last year? It did a little bit.
There's a lot there. You're like, I feel like we should be doing. But again, I want to defend DJ here, okay? This is my only defense. He missed some. God, there were some bad throws.
Some really bad throws.
Also had a pretty pivotal drop early, that freshman running back in the flat. That would have been massive for them. And the defense had an almost 8-minute drive on him. They took up the whole second quarter.
In the final 21
minutes
of the game.
He drove him down there and tied it. Like, he did what he kind of needed to do when he needed to do it. They're just a couple possessions that, it left me Oregon State vibes.
In the last 21 minutes of that game, I believe they had the ball one time.
Yeah, defense should not be getting shredded like that.
That's a big issue for you. So not all on DJ, but man, hell of a way to start the season. You had that. I didn't see much of the New Mexico game, but I guess that was kind of a bonkers game that Montana State ended up winning. They were a big favorite, and I forgot Bronco Mendenhall is now at New Mexico, so there's a fun fact for you. And then it was kind of night-capped. The Hawaii game wasn't on TV.
They didn't cover.
But you had SMU and Nevada, which was a 4-touchdown spread, and they got a safety late. Like, I was watching that game on the train ride home thinking, the dirty pole is high on SMU. I'm high on their supply, and I was almost incredibly wrong. Probably still am, because if you're struggling to beat Nevada, not a good sign for where your year's going to go. But a really fun opening weekend, week zero. Week zero is still stupid. Give me the full slate. Let's start the year. Give me the full slate in week zero. Start the season. Final answer.
Thanks for retweeting me.
Come out of the closet for Joe Tessitore. I'm here. I'm loud, and I'm proud, and I'm very happy to do it.
Poll question up. Do you love Joe Tessitore on the call of a college football game? Yes or no?
Okay. Perfect.
I don't want to do a meh. Okay.
No, either or.
Stop fence sitting.
Pick a side.
Pick a lane.
Damn right. We'll wrap it up. Send your way on your way on a Monday. Next on The Fan. Loud and proud here for Joe T. Big Joe Tessitore guy.
Run the ball.
He's got high T. I'll tell you that much.
He does have high T.
He has to have high T.
Yes, right now is winning the poll question at Dirt and Sprague.
My people are out there. Somebody also pointed out this weekend, Jesse Palmer, what a life, man.
Great life.
Bachelor. He's doing the Bachelor, calling college football
did
games.
Did he get married or is he still a Bachelor? Because
I don't know.
I thought he was married.
If I looked as good as Jesse Palmer.
He is such a good-looking guy.
Oh, he's great looking.
My wife loves him, too, because he's now hosting like the Spring Baking Championships or the Summer Baking Championship.
Yeah, he does do a hosting of something random.
On Food Network. So
he does
like,
baking championships now, too?
Yes, dude, yes he does. He is like the host.
Yeah. Get a free cupcake, make some good cash on the side. Seriously.
Yeah, he is married to Brazilian photographer and model Emily Fardo.
Him and Michael Bublé did it right.
Who's more beautiful in that relationship? Who's out kicking the coverage?
Fardo is kind of a funny last name. They met in a boxing class in 2017.
Oh, she's a badass.
Yeah, she's
break into that house, see what happens.
I mean, she's a Brazilian model.
Jesse Palmer will stun you with a smile, and then she'll come out and just kick your ass.
What a life, dude. People, you're jealous. Jesse Palmer, what a gig. That guy's got it figured out.
Are we jealous of Jesse Palmer, yes or no, at Jordan Sprague? I'll put that poll question up
hands
as well.
Down. Dude, to be that good looking, are you kidding me? Look at me. You don't think I'm jealous of Jesse Palmer?
I did want to quickly, just one more time, I know it's a little nauseating and sometimes I feel a little uncomfortable talking about things.
Yes.
I did want to quickly shout out everybody at the Coast for putting on the event every year. The amount of work that takes, the cities, the local people who help and are involved. The volunteers, I don't know what it was. It felt like the volunteers this year stepped it up even more than I've ever experienced before.
Okay, that's good
to hear. They were great. The porta potties were as clean as they've ever been.
Oh yeah, brother, that's key.
So Dan and everybody over at Hood to Coast, thank you guys. You put on a great event every year. It means a lot to a lot of people. It changes their lives. And this year, I just really wanted to note, I thought the volunteers and everybody that gives their time to be out there in the middle of the night. Middle of nowhere. I'm talking, hey, do I have to go left or right here?
Yeah, am I going to get shanked by a homeless person? I don't know.
Right. They did a great job this year. Yeah. Did a good event.
Well, round of applause.
Great job.
Round of applause, everybody. To the Hood to Coast bros out there and broettes. Yes. Everybody who successfully finished the race this weekend. It's good to have you back. And nice medal. Sprague's wearing his medal if you've been watching on YouTube. You can see that today. Let's get to some poll questions. Just early return so far. Early return. You mentioned the Joe Tessitore one. Right now it's 61% of you saying yes. 38% saying no. Will Mike Tomlin finally have a sub-500 year this year in Pittsburgh? Early return on this, 57% of you say yes, he will.
Yeah, baby!
They're due for a sub-500 record.
No, all right, Schultz, if he's sub-500, you owe me $100.
Well, you better pay up if he is not.
No, that's not the bet.
Oh, shut up. Make the bet. People are telling you, Sprague, make the bet. What are you doing here? Take Schultz's bet.
I love how you're telling me to pay
50.
Up. Okay, I'll go 50.
Those two thinking they will be 9-8 in that division, especially at the end of the year with that schedule, no bleeping way.
Yeah.
I appreciate the confidence.
Mason Rudolph might be better than Russell Wilson, and you just don't know it yet.
Oh, my God.
That's what's crazy. Kenny Two Gloves might be better than
Justin Fields. Kenny Two Gloves, is that what you're telling me? Kenny Two, like, that division had the Ravens in it. The Browns were a playoff team last year, and the Bengals damn near made the playoffs, too. Remember, they hung around.
Burrow's back.
Is he going to stay healthy? Is Lamar going to stay healthy?
Every other year, Burrow is healthy.
Sure he is.
And now we're on the other year.
It's actually not every other year. He went unhealthy, healthy, healthy, unhealthy.
So now he's healthy.
Now, okay.
It's the start of a 2-year run of health.
Is Lamar going to stay healthy all year?
Damn right.
Okay. Is Deshaun Watson going to throw for 300 yards in a game all season?
They got a 38 quarterback to play really well for them last year. I don't think it matters.
Nick Chubb's out all year. Like, I'm not scared. I'm not scared of you, AFC North.
I think you are scared.
I'm not scared of you.
Go look at their schedule.
500 or better.
Go look at their schedule.
Because that's always an easy game to play in August.
Loss.
Yeah, the Jets were going to be a tough team to everybody last year, and then they had a MILF hunter starting a quarterback for half the season. How'd that work out for you?
Dude, at Falcons. Yeah, that's a loss. At Broncos, bow up, bitch.
All right, shut up, Francis.
Chargers at home. Herbie,
that's a loss.
Colts?
I'll give you that. That's not a loss.
Cowboys?
Not a loss.
Dude, the Jets. Oh, the commies are coming to town. They're shaking in their boots.
That will do it for us, folks. If you missed it, we had Sean Keeler on. He's been in the news lately.
He's good. We should get him back on for Bronco talk.
Absolutely. He was really good. He has been banned from asking questions of Prime, Coach Prime. He has upset Coach Prime. So you can go catch that at 1080thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague, and at 1080thefan on Twitter. Tomorrow, Stuart Mandel.
Stuart Mandel.
Daily Ticker.
Glad you remind me of that. Got a tape with him after the show.
Stuart Mandel. Yes. 7:30 mañana. You'll hear his thoughts on the upcoming college football season. Football is back, folks. We're happy. To all the teachers returning to work this week, thanks for being here.
I hope you enjoyed your time off, and thank you.
Thank you.
Being a teacher.
Thank you.
Not easy.
Thank you. A lot of thank yous in the final segment. We love you all. Thanks for being a part of our Monday. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl,
Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.